New Life Church. My name's Virgil, and I'm one of the pastors here, and I just want to start off with saying how proud I am of New Life Church going there this morning. From in worship saying, hey, we're going to lean into about healing to baptism, say, hey, it's time. This is what church is about. It's not about three songs, a good message that makes us feel all nice and warm on the inside and go home and eat lunch or go beat whatever church we want to beat to the best restaurant in town. That's not what church is about. It's about doing life together. So thank you so much for making my wife cry so much this morning that her mascara makes her look like a raccoon. She's still beautiful to me. Welcome and so glad to see every single one of you. So you have asked how it's been going with us getting settled in here in Texas, and it's been going really well. Our boxes now are in only two locations in our home, so the guest room that Cammie needs to sort through in the garage, which is almost a maze of danger and peril and kind of like Indiana Jones. So we don't let Megan go out in the garage because we're scared one of the boxes might fall. Not really. But we're getting settled. And this last week, I feel like I'm starting to become a real Texan because I started to drive like y'all. And I wasn't paying attention to the speed limit in our neighborhood because I'm used to school zones where you can see the school. I'm not sure where all the schools are in Chrome where we live. And I started driving 31 in a 20, and I got to visit with one of our nice police officers, and I got a ticket. So if anyone thinks Virgil is like next to godliness, like he is so close, I'm not. And I have the ticket to prove it. So we are so thrilled to be here and continue this current series called Moving Forward, Thriving During the Transitions of Life. Because life is full of transitions. We've talked about, Joseph spoke this morning about new beginnings, and we got to experience new beginnings of people going from death to life, from darkness to light, being in the family of God. And so, you know, it doesn't stop there. We keep on going from faith to faith, from glory to glory with the Lord. And that's what it's about. That's why we still need each other. And I'm going to put in a little bit of encouragement about that serve conversation. When you serve in a church, it's not just getting a good pat on the back. We will celebrate you, but it's really investing, as James said a few weeks ago, about using your gifts and your talents for the kingdom. What God has given you, giving it to someone else and investing in them. And we saw that even this morning with different people praying and engaging. That's the body of Christ. That's when God smiles down upon us. Not when, hey, the worship was perfect and it was no flaws and the speaker was fantastic and had all his points down perfectly. No, what we did this morning is what makes God smile. So thank you, church. So life is full of transitions, from a new job to leaving a job, a new birth to a death. Leaving friends and gaining new friends. Life is full of transition. Generally, we think we just have to survive this transition so we can get to stability. But we never quite get there because life is, there's always another thing coming. What if we were destined to thrive in the midst of transitions to just survive it? What if in the midst of transitions we see God show up in a powerful way? And if you read the Bible, that's when he shows up. Is not in the moments of status quo, but in the moments where like, oh Lord, I need you. I don't know how to survive this transition. And we go before his throne. He says, no, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something. To thrive means to prosper and flourish. Is that how we see transitions and change in our life? By the way, no one likes change. Unless we're the one choosing the change, right? And everyone should be right with us. How often do we get to choose the change in our life? Not very often. So it would be good if we learned how to live through it in a healthy way. So this series is based off of Joshua 1 through 5. Last week we started this conversation in chapter 1, and we're just gleaning a few principles out of these chapters. Last week we talked about how God is for you and not against you. He wants a relationship with you. As we celebrate this morning with baptism, that's about relationship. I mentioned last week there's this old saying that says God loves you right where you're at, but loves you too much to leave you there. Wherever you find yourself this morning, whether you're online or in person here at New Life, God loves you so much this morning. But he loves you too much to leave you where you're at. And sometimes we feel like, well, it's about religion now. I need to make myself look the part. Wrong answer. You don't do things to make yourself righteous before God. No, it's about that relationship. And as we walk through that relationship, we can draw closer to him. That's the reason why he wants to change us. It's not so we can look like these little perfect cookie cutter Christians. By the way, if you look at most Christians that we respect, they're not cookie cutters. They have their uniqueness with their personalities and gift mixes. What we do find are people who love Jesus and they want to be transformed more and more to be like him. Because what happens with transformation, what happens with transition is this morning I have a mic on, but if I didn't have the mic on and if I was whispering right now and you were out in the foyer, could you hear me very well? Are you in the church? Yeah, you are in proximity with me, but you're not necessarily hearing. Now, if I started yelling, you might hear some of it. For some of us in this room, we feel like we are constantly living in that type of relationship with God where he has to yell at us to get our attention. But that's not what his heart is. His heart is for us to become, get close. When he can whisper, we can hear. If we read in the Old Testament, it says God was not in the firestorm or in the thunder or in the earthquake. I'm using some poetic license there. He was in the still, small voice, in the whisper. That's why we want value transition with the Lord, going from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Because that's sonship and daughtership, is when we can hear his voice when we're close, when we can hear the whisper. I think some of us maybe have settled to be slaves for righteousness. I'm just going to do the right things, and a slave gets yelled at. Not that God's a mean God, but he's trying to get his voice to you. Instead, we want to be close. That's why he's for us, not against us. That's why he wants to transition us from glory to glory and from faith to faith. We talked about how we need to value our history, our personal histories, as we talked about Joshua. He was 80 at the time when he's hearing this. He had lived some life, he experienced some things. Also, we need to honor the legacy of those who came before us. He was stepping in the shoes of Moses and even down to Abraham's promises. Joshua is going to help live out that promise for that next generation. That you are not alone. God is with you. He's not against you. That he will never leave you nor forsake you. So when I was growing up, we used to listen to a radio program. And that's where we paused last week. So this guy's name was Paul Harvey. Who all remembers Paul Harvey? Thank you, my people. Paul Harvey had this thing where he'd say, and the rest of the story. So we're going to continue the rest of the story this morning in Joshua 1, 6 through 9. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Amen, right? Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. There's a whole series of messages just in that section. I encourage you this next week, read it a couple times and see what the Lord might be speaking to you through that portion of scripture. But first principle I would like to glean out of it would be strong and of good courage. Be strong and courageous. So where do you gain your strength and courage? Is it from your job title? Is it from your last name? Where I come from in Western Nebraska, last names were a big deal. Cammy is a Cobb. I'm from a Sandoz lineage. And you're like, well, those names don't mean anything. If you go to Western Nebraska, those names mean something. Because those were family ranches. And they've been there for over 100 years. Sometimes you find someone, well, I'm part of the Sandoz family. And it was something that would give you a sense of pride, and that's what gave you strength and courage. Maybe it's your bank accounts. Maybe it's your retirement. Maybe it's your skills and talents. But as a believer, those things are okay, but they should not be your primary. Our primary place should come from God.
and from Jesus, the hope of glory in our life. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you both the will and to do for his good pleasure. Courage is the will. It's the heart. It's the attitude. To be courageous is someone who has those attributes. Strength is the ability to do. We need them both. And they both can come from God. Why does he give them to us? To do his good pleasure. For his glory, not our own. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Or strengthens me. Who gives us strength? Is it me? Is it your pastor? Is it your church? Is it your religious activity? No. It's Christ in you. That relationship is what gives you strength and courage. 2 Corinthians 3:4-6. Every Sunday I read this verse and pray over myself. Because I am nothing without Jesus. And my sufficiency is not in myself. Verse 4. And we have such trust through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves. But our sufficiency, our ability is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. You're saying, well, I'm not a pastor. This is for ministers. No, anyone who is called by God as a believer is a minister of the new covenant. Wherever you find yourself, from high school and junior high to retirement, from working in a bank to be a mom serving as a, by the way, moms who stay home and raise your kids, that's really an amazing role, by the way. So don't disdain it. But where God's called you, that's what we want to hit. That's where you're called to minister. Do you know you can minister life of the Spirit as you're taking out the garbage? How? You have neighbors. If you don't have neighbors, you have a prayer time. Can we take out the garbage? Can you be praying for a missionary? Can you smile at your next door neighbor? You don't know what's going on with them. Your smile might actually create a place for them to ask a question. That's being sufficient by the Lord. A few weeks ago, Pastor John spoke about having a word of the year. And as I listened to that, I'm like, man, God, what would be my word of the year? And he's like, it's going to come from Joshua 1. I'm like, oh, great. Be strong and courageous. And as I started looking at the phraseology, it's like, really, that's the phrase. Be strong and courageous. Only be strong and courageous. And then I'm a little bit of a theology nerd, so I looked that up in Hebrew. In Hebrew, it's rock, kasak, amens. So rock, kasak, amens. Some of you are going, rock, em, sock, em, robot? That's what Cammie heard the first time. So I'm not speaking in tongues. It's actually in Hebrew. So rock, kasak, amens. It's an ancient Hebrew battle cry. That's my phrase of the year. So you know, being strong and courageous is not being arrogant. It's not being dominant. It's not being prideful. It's having confidence in Lord my God, in that I'm not allowing circumstances and situations and feelings and emotions to deter me from living out God's will for my life, to follow him. I would say that's the same for all of us. That's being strong and of good courage, is not letting things around us deter us from what God has for us. Also in this section of scripture, another principle is process your fears. Sometimes we want to stuff our fears in a closet. The problem is, how many of us have that closet where we just shove stuff? I mentioned earlier about we have upstairs in our guest room, we've shoved a lot of stuff in there. It's a little scary. In my garage, it's a little scary because we just keep on stuffing stuff. Some of us have done that with our fears and concerns with God in transitions. We just keep on stuffing them. Oh, maybe someday I'll look at that closet. God knows it's there. He wants us to process them in a healthy way. Not to hide them, not to deny them, but to bring them out and say, Lord, what's going on in my life? Because God tells Joshua three times in that section, be strong and courageous. He was 80. He was 80 years old. He had done things. He was a general. He had walked with Moses. He had been up on, not with Moses on the mountaintop, but really close to Moses on the mountaintop with the Ten Commandments. He had been there. But he still needed his God, his Father in heaven to say, be strong and of good courage. He still needed some encouragement three times. Who are we to say we don't need God to look at us and say, be strong and of good courage. I'm there with you. I will bless you and I will help you. Though it looks scary and you do not see a way through this, I am the way maker. I am the miracle worker. It's not you, it's me. We gain strength and courage through spending time in God's word. This is meditation. It's not just hearing it on a Sunday morning, but it's for us thinking about it throughout the week. It's through our prayer time with the Lord. It's through talking with others. That will help us process those fears. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Sometimes we think, as long as I just say the right words, it's going to be okay. Have you ever heard, think it until you make it? Some believers will do this. I'm saying all the right things. I never talk about being worried. I never say there's fear. I heard one person say, someone says, hey, take care. I don't take any care. And he rebukes somebody. Because care equals fear. That's ludicrous. I'm not talking about the rapper teenagers. And or 30-somethings, 40-somethings. I am talking about how that person had the right words, but their heart, you see a storm come through, they're freaking out. But they would not speak or share, God, I'm scared. Because they got so caught up in religion of not saying the wrong thing. Be honest with God. He already knows that it's there. And talk with people who are going to encourage you and bless you. Get into God's word. That's how you're going to change the meditation of your heart and your attitude, and then the words are going to come. That's how you can say, I can have joy in the midst of chaos. That song was prophetic this morning. Joy in the midst of chaos. Not because you're just saying joy, but because you're living it out from a true heart. Because what you think about aligns your life to its purposes, its directions, and its plans. So if you think about the news all the time, whose plans and purposes are you aligning with? Whichever news station you like the best. I only think about sports, whatever sports team you like the best. By the way, thank you, Parkers. Now I'm watching the Stars, by the way. But we start thinking about those things. It's okay to think about other things, but what's your primary? Do you want to align to God's plans and purposes? You need to think about God. Process with Him. Think about it. Talk with others. Luke 6:45, a good man out of good treasure in his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What are you placing in your heart? That's what you're producing. There's a battle for your focus. It's not easy. You're going to have to fight for it to stay focused on what the Bible says, not causing you to turn to the left or the right. So when we were moving in, it was one of those great miracles we talked about last week where we were able to close on both properties the same day. But there was some paperwork that in Arkansas, we signed everything right, but someone else didn't sign correctly. So we were waiting. And here's John texting me like, hey, can I go get the key for you? Because we got people coming to help you move in. I'm like, I don't have the key yet. So this is about 2:30. I'm like, God, and I'm starting to feel the pressure. There was not joy in that car. Let's put it that way. There was pressure starting to come up. Oh man, I'm looking like a fool. This is my first thing as a pastor there. They're going to look like I can't plan anything. And the Lord's like, stop. Like, yes, sir. That's how he talks to me. I'm like, yes, sir. He's like, did you do everything you're supposed to and led by me? Yes. So why are you worrying? Well, because he's like, stop. Don't you think I have this all taken care of? Like, yes. He's like, even if it doesn't work out the way you're thinking, maybe I have a better plan. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord. And I just have a request for you. Could by 3 o'clock, I'm not going to demand it, but by 3 o'clock, could we have that paperwork go through? 3:05, the paperwork goes through. And the funny part is, Lord had to have me sweat for about 5 minutes to know He's God and I'm not. He's always on His time, not my time. Or if you will, the famous hymn, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. That's what it's about. We don't want to just be hearers of God's word, but doers, because we don't want to deceive ourselves. That's James 1:22. And when we do that, success and prosperity, according to Joshua 1, will start to follow us. We don't follow blessings and success. We follow the word of God. And in his time, in his way, success and prosperity will follow. He is our goal. Because in Galatians 6:9, it puts it this way, and let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And praise God, this morning we got to see some reaping. You have not lost heart in your life. We saw some more reaping. There's still a lot more to come, guys. But praise God. Franklin D. Roosevelt put it this way, courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the assessment that something else is more important than the fear. There's something more important than the fear. It's not a denial, it's saying there's something greater. The most important thing in our life is following the leading of Jesus Christ. That's thriving. So there are a few principles from Joshua 1:10 through Joshua 2:24. Do not worry this morning. We are not going to read all those. We are going to just look at a few points because I think they will help some of us. First one is be prepared. Joshua 1:10 through 11. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days, you will cross over this Jordan to go in and possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. How do you prepare yourself for change or a transition in life? It's not denying it. It's about that processing your fear, getting close to the Lord. Think about what he's going to do. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Being humble is saying, God, you're God, I'm not. So often we get locked into fear and worries when we're trying to figure out what's going to happen next. Who knows? Who's Alpha and Omega? Beginning and the end. Who's sovereign? He is God. So we do a lot of mental thinking, trying to figure out what's next when we need to take that same effort, but towards spending time with the Lord and casting that care. God, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen with the doctor next week. I don't know what's going to happen with this bill. I don't know what's going to happen with my kids. Take it to him. Take it to him. Take it to a few trusted advisors and have them help you. This is a key one for someone, I believe. It says, provide provision for yourselves. I love the word provision because it's pro-vision. What's your vision when it comes down to being prepared? Is it pro-God? Is it pro-future? Or is it pro-me? Pro-my rights? Or is it pro-God? He's pro-vision. What is vision? It's future. It's looking over the horizon. Because in 2 Peter 1:3, it says, he has provided everything that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. I think sometimes the reason why we get stuck is we don't have a pro vision when it comes down to our lives. We have a me vision. We have a safe vision, but we don't have a pro vision. Thriving moving forward will take faith and willingness to go beyond our comfort zones. And you can throw your rocks later, because we all like comfort zones, don't we? But Jesus loves where we're not in our comfort zones. Why? Because that's where we need him. I think about Peter walking on water. Jesus was not in the boats. He was out on the waves, outside the comfort zone. Where might God be calling you in this season to step out of the boat onto the waves? Last principle is God provides friends and family to help, bless, and encourage us during transitions. This is found in Joshua 1:12-18. This is family. So the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh had already taken possession of their promised land on the other side of the Jordan. But they made a deal with Moses that they would send fighting men into the promised land on the other side with the rest of Israel to take that land. So family sometimes are those who are not going to take the land with us, but they're there to help encourage and to bless us. So here at New Life, think about the overseers. The overseers, next week we have Jeff Tarbox is going to be here. He's someone who does not live here. He has a different promised land than us, but he is here to help, to encourage, to bless, and encourage us to take our promised land. By the way, promised land does not equal heaven. I want to make that very clear. When I use the word promised land, I'm not saying heaven on earth. I'm saying the promised land was their land for that season to possess for the kingdom of God. There were giants, there were battles, there was wars to be battled, but it was their place and time. So when we talk about promised land for New Life Church in this next season, it's our land in this next season to possess for the kingdom of God, for his glory. There will be giants. There will be battles. But there are battles that God has called us for such time as this. But we need friends coming in to encourage us during those times. In our personal life, we have friends, mentors, and advisors to help us on our journeys. These are people that get nothing out of being a blessing in our lives other than just helping us. There are people who are willing to sacrifice for the good of God in your life. So for us, some names would be Michael and Hannah Fireborn, our good friends of Camden Mine for the last, I think it's 20 years now. They've said for years, we'd love for you to move closer to us. They live in Sealing, Oklahoma, and near Woodward, Oklahoma, if you know that place, or Woodard, if you're from that area. they prayed for years. We would love to have you be closer because we're such good friends. But their prayer for us in this last season was, Lord, we want what's best for Virgil and Cammie for your glory. We didn't move closer. We actually moved, I think, 30 minutes farther away. They were willing to sacrifice their personal desires for the glory of God. That's a family member. Who's been there in your times of transition? Like that in transition's life. How might you be being called to be that friend or that family member during that transition? And the last one is friends. Joshua 2, this whole chapter is talking about these two spies who go in to spy out the promised land and see, look at Jericho. So Joshua 2, 1 through 2, we're actually just going to do verse 1. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. First off, it's interesting that this time he only sends out two spies versus 12. I think he thought he might have better luck this time than last time. All three Bible scholars know what I'm talking about. I thought that joke was better in my head. It was. So in this story, the spies go and they find an unlikely ally and a friend in Jericho, a harlot named Rahab. These were Hebrews. They had the law. This was a woman with a history and a past that was probably not the upper crust of the area. But she was willing to say, there's something different about your God. She has a backstory. Not only a harlot, but a harlot in a foreign land that was anti-God. Meaning, she lived in lands where they would sacrifice their children to their gods. She had been around and seen some things. She takes time to talk to them, and she hides them at her own risk. The risk of her own safety. I doubt they were going to say, here's a ticket like for me for speeding. I'm pretty sure they would have killed her for hiding them. She has heard about the power of the Israelites' God, and she chooses to follow that God, Joshua 2:11. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. She sees the power of God. She asks for her and her family to be spared when the Israelites come. They say, yes. So as long as the window that we climb out of, when you help us escape, you put a red cord out when we come. She's willing to do the weird and out of the normal for safety from God, not from men. Because that's a little strange, isn't it? A red cord out of the window. I'm pretty sure some people are like, that's kind of awkward. Why would you do that? Because she was willing to follow where God led. A few thoughts on friends in new seasons. Don't pre-qualify who God will bring into our church and into our lives that will bless us. See, 1 Samuel 16:7 says, Lord, does not look like man looks. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. We sometimes, who comes in those doors, we will pre-qualify because they don't fit the picture of who we're wanting in the natural. Church is one of the worst things in the American church. We don't want to be that way. We're not going to pre-qualify. We want to get in people's stories and hear life transformation. And so life, and someone said the other day, to uplift and not tear down. Don't pre-qualify who God's going to bring into our church and our lives that will become a friend that might just save us. That might just be the very thing we're praying for, but they don't look the part. Ever hear, don't judge a book by its cover? 1 Samuel 22:2 is one of my favorite verses when it comes down to church leadership. And God was going to bring all the mighty and amazing men of God, and they're going to be amazing preachers, and they're not going to have any issues. No, that's not what it says. Someone needs to be saying, that's not what it says up on the screen. And everyone, this is David. So he has ran from Saul. He's out in the wilderness. And everyone who was in distress, and one version says bitter, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them. And there were about 400 men with him. Who did this motley crew of individuals become? David's mighty men. Why? David didn't pre-qualify. But he did do one thing. He was a worshiper. And when you're a worshiper, you're bringing the presence of God with you. And when those men and women got close to the power and presence and glory of the glory of God, God started to reveal the amazing gifts and talents that were within them. And they became the mighty men of God. So don't pre-qualify others and don't pre-qualify yourself. Rahab was a harlot. She had a past. Joshua was 80. He was old. Don't pre-qualify yourself. Let's look at what happens with Rahab. Her story doesn't end with chapter 2. She becomes King David's great-great-grandmother. She is named by name in Christ's lineage in Matthew 1, 5-6. Why? She was willing to follow the leading of the Lord. So unlikely friends become family in the blood of Jesus. We become new creations in Christ. Galatians 3:26. For you all, sons and daughters of God, through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. So as we end today's message, I want to go back to remember God is for you and not against you. He has a hope and a future for you. Life is going to be full of transitions. Don't let fear stop you from what God is leading you into. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God will give you strength and courage to fulfill his purposes in your life. You just need to be willing to let the Lord guide and direct your path, which means there will be transitions and there will be change. Don't fear it, but embrace what the Lord is doing in and through it in your life. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for our time together this morning, and more than anything else, the celebration of life in you, God. That people are coming to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's what it's about. And a body of believers who worship with their hearts and with their souls and with all their strength. Lord, for a body that says, God, we know you are the potter, you are the artist, we are the canvas and we're the clay. But you're not done with us yet. Lord, help us as we transition through life at different times. Encourage us, bless us, help us to process those fears. Help us not to pre-qualify others, and help us not to pre-qualify ourselves. Lord, I call forth as one of the leaders in this house, the gifts and callings. Lord, that the ministries will be filled with individuals called to serve your body in powerful ways in within these walls and outside these walls. Lord, that people will not look to, that people will not allow their past to ruin their present and future in you. We release your presence, Lord. As it has been with us, we release it into homes and into families, into neighborhoods. Go and make yourself famous in our midst. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.